We are in a series that we've been in for the past 5-6 weeks called Jesus, He Gets Us. And I just want to say good morning to you. If this is your first time to be with us, then my name is Pastor Matt. My wife, Lori, is here. And we're so glad that you're here with us. And thank you so much for your giving. Last week, I talked a little bit about Jesus gets our fears. The thoughts were that I might be a little scared, but I'm prepared to remember who is in your boat. And that God says, I have a plan for you. God says it personally, that I have a plan for each and every one of you. So today I want to talk to you a little bit about that Jesus gets our heartbreak. That He gets our heartbreak and He gets our grief. How many of you are so glad that you have somebody in your life that just gets who you are? They get your personality and all of it. Maybe, or you need somebody to get you. How about that? I get Lori. Lori is one that I get her vibe. I get her sense of humor. I get her loyalty to family, and I get her hunger for God. And another thing that I get about her is that I can, it's some of the simpler things that we can be going to the pool, to the Y, and we'll pull up, and I know that when I drop her off at the pool, because I'm going to work out, whatever, I go to 7-Eleven, you guys are going to pop up here, and I get her a Slurpee. She wants a large Slurpee. That's a picture of us just one day that we went out and got Slurpees, and we sent that to a friend of ours, but she enjoys having a large Slurpee by the pool. Guys, I'm all about the Slurpee from the spring into the fall. I don't know if there's any other Slurpee fans out there, but we enjoy the Slurpees. But Jesus gets us. He gets our heartbreak. And according to John Hopkins Medicine, guys, this is actually in their medical journals, the number one emotional stressor that leads to broken heart syndrome is grief. Over fear, over anger, and over surprise. In fact, the Mayo Clinic says this, that grief is the natural reaction to loss. There are a lot of believers that believe this, that grief is actually a gift that God gives us to give us to be able to handle the loss or the mourning that we are going through. It could be something over a death of a loved one, the ending of an important relationship. It could be a job loss, a job that you loved, a job that you had put your life into, and all of a sudden it's gone, and you're mourning that. It could be theft. As easy as somebody coming into your car, into your home, and taking something that cannot be replaced. I remember back when I was a little guy, I had this thing called the Guns of Navarone playset. Is there anybody in here that ever had one of these right here? Was there anybody? I had one. Guys, I had hundreds and hundreds of U.S. Army men and German men, and I would have wars all the time up in my room with this Guns of Navarone set. Guys, around 17 years old, I came through the house one day, and I was just kind of thinking, like, I wonder where my Guns of Navarone set is. And I started looking for that thing. I can't find it anywhere. Come to find out, my mom gave away my Guns of Navarone set. All the army men, the planes, the trucks, everything that was in there. And I was heartbroken, you guys. I was devastated. And the thing was that I think I know why she gave it away. Because she knew it at age 55, I'd still be playing with it. So, Elvis Presley understood heartbreak, wrote a song called Heartbreak Hotel. Well, since my baby left me, well, I found a new place to dwell. Well, it's down at the end of Lonely Street at Heartbreak Hotel, where I'll be so lonely, baby. Well, I'm so lonely. I'm so lonely, I could die. Then the Bee Gees release a song called How Can You Mend a Broken Heart? Look at this one, you guys. How can you mend a broken heart? How can you stop the rain from falling down? How can you stop the sun from shining? What makes the world go round? And how can you mend this broken man? How can a loser ever win? Please help me mend my broken heart and let me live again. You see, heartbreak defined in the dictionary is really just two words. And it's defined this way, overwhelming distress. Last week, I put up a pic last week with fear, and here's heartbreak. Heartbreak never comes by itself. It has friends that are attached to it, grief and suffering. Distress, unhappiness, misery and sorrow, sadness and anguish, trauma, bitterness, remorse, heartache, and even torment, that you could be tormented by your heartbreak. Sometimes it's the choices that we actually make that lead us to a place of brokenness. There are those of us that didn't even get a choice. It was just that our hearts were broken. And what about daily heartbreak? Think about this, you guys, that we could have somebody in this room with us here today that suffers with daily heartbreak. You're looking at this person whom you love, and your heart just breaks for them. That you could be trapped in memories of how it used to be. Guys, that's when the questions of why begins. Why is my heart broken? We get into this place where it's how it was versus how it is. And what I mean by that is spiritually, how it was is that we get into this place of brokenness, and all we can do is look back at what it was like before my heart was broken. And see, the enemy wants us to stay there because then we never know how it should be or how it is. How it is I'm in a place where I have hope that I'm healed. I might be heartbroken today, but I'm moving forward. I want to live out. I have a desire to live out what God has promised in my life. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, I just want to read the scripture for you very quickly. I kind of want to anchor the message on it today. Starting in verse 19, it says this, God's saying this, I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life and he will give you many years. Charles Spurgeon says this, there are many sorts of broken hearts, and Christ is good at healing them all. You know, I think about this. God is literally, he's setting it out. He says, I'm setting before you life and death, blessings or curse. And he says, choose life. Choose life. And that I'm big enough to take care of anything that you might go through, that I am here for you. Psalms 34, 18 through 19 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them. Everybody say all. Brokenhearted in the Hebrew is shaver. And shaver is speaking to breaking into pieces, to crush, to rupture. It even says it this way, to be wrecked as a ship is wrecked by the wind or wrecked upon the rocks. From the inside out or the outside in, it's this wrecking. But the scriptures say, but the Lord delivers us from them all. Heartbreak or grief to me, I define as devastated. That's just the way that I look at it. And there's different levels. I want everybody to understand that there's different levels of heartbreak and different levels of devastation that we go through. One that I remembered that before I had people that died in my life that I've lost. But I remember when Lori and I had been dating for about a year. We got in trouble. It wasn't nothing like crazy, but we got in trouble bad enough to where her dad wanted us to take a break. So I was asleep one morning. My dad wakes me up and he goes, Pastor Wilkerson wants you to come over to his house and have a talk with him. Guys, that was the longest drive of my life, driving over to Pastor Wilkerson's home and him waiting for me. And Lori's sitting in a chair like this in the corner, you know, and I come in and I sit down and he goes, guys, and he kind of says his thing, and he just goes, I want you guys to break up. I want you to take a break. You guys are broken up. We're going to take a break and this whole thing. And I just go into, like, I'm devastated. And Lori's mom grabs me and takes me into another room and sits me down and begins to say all these really kind things to me. But you know how Charlie Brown, that one with the teacher, you can never understand what the teacher's saying. Wah, 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 wah. I'm devastated. I see her mouth moving, but I'm not registering. All I'm hearing is, you guys have to break up. You know what I mean? So guys, for about a month or however long it lasted that he made us break up, I was getting in trouble at work. They were sending me home because I wasn't concentrating. I think Lori went on this big vacation to Seattle and she told me she was miserable the whole time. And I was in this place of devastation. Now, obviously, we got to get back together because we're married and we're here together. And she is so thankful. Devastation, something that brought grief, brought destruction, or followed by overwhelming grief. And again, there's levels of devastation, of heartbreak and grief. And I want to give you just a picture in a story that maybe will help us with understanding that there are people in here that are might have a broken heart, and it might be at a completely different level than yours. Back in, I think it was back in 2010, so now it's been over a decade, in Joplin, Missouri, if you guys remember when that tornado went through that city. Just a couple of years ago, or however long it's been since her mom had her surgery, we had to fly back, and we landed in Tulsa and had to drive to Springfield. And I remember going through Joplin, and you can still see to this day where that tornado went through. Guys, listen to this. It was an F5-rated multiple vortex tornado, over 1 mile wide, over 200 miles per hour wind sustained, 7 miles on the ground, and destroyed 8,000 homes and buildings and totally destroyed a hospital. Guys, listen, over 1,000 severely injured and over 160 killed. It was the most costly tornado ever recorded in the United States at $2.8 billion in damage. So here's the thought. How many of you understand that there were some that were devastated that got caught in that storm that had their roofs peeled off, and all these things that were in their homes were damaged and were not able to be repaired or recovered? How many of us understand there's devastation there? Then you have somebody, which I remember these visual pictures, where their home was peeled off to the slab. No wood, no cars. There is nothing there except a slab of concrete. That's another level of devastation. And then you have those that lost somebody in that tornado. So there are these levels being devastated. In the dictionary, here it is, another two word. It says emotionally shattered. But God says, choose life. Choose blessing. That I will deliver you from all your brokenness. In Psalms 147:3, he says, he heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. He in the Hebrew comes up as Rapha. We know that as to heal, the healing God, the great physician, the one who prepares. And here's a truth bomb, if you'll take it. If we don't ever heal from what has hurt us, we will take this into our future relationships, and they will have to deal with a wound that they never inflicted. Yeah. Come on, guys, receive what I just said there. Our mess becomes their mess. Our pain remains the most important thing over even a relationship. And God says, choose life. I'm saying choose life, that I will deliver you from all brokenness, and I will heal you, and I will bandage your wounds. Jesus gets our heartbreak. Can I get an amen for that? Here's my first thought. Sometimes true healing is in the trust fall. How many of you guys know what a trust fall is? You know, have you do it at camps, you do it at school, you know, you just put your hands across and you're falling. And here's the thing is that you're trusting that somebody else is going to catch you. That's the whole thing. There's a guy on YouTube called the Trust Fall Guy. Here's a picture of him right here. He's like 6'5", 6'6". I'd say he's a comfortable high 300s. And he will just walk up on unsuspecting college students and say, he'll go trust fall, and he'll just fall into them. And he'll do it in elevators, he does it at the park benches, he does it at the cafeteria. Guys, I've seen people on his videos that see him coming and they go, I've seen your videos, and they run. They just take off from him. He's got people to open up their car doors and he'll trust fall into their car. Like, it's pretty funny. It's actually very, very funny. There are not a lot of things that compare to a trust fall when it comes to putting your trust in someone else, giving complete trust. Our family went to Orlando in May, just a quick family vacation, and we're at the pool, and Lori and my three kids all have their headphones in, they're listening to music, and I'm at that place where I'm kind of like, do I want to get in the water, do I want to go work out, you know, this whole thing, but I just want to do something. But while I'm thinking this, I'm hearing this bantering going on. I hear this something, nah, I don't want, and I quickly realize there's this little girl standing at the edge of the pool, and her dad is in about 3.5 inches of water, and he's telling her, trust me, jump to me, I'm going to catch you. She's got her little wingies on, and she's got her floaty suit, and he'll go, come on, baby, jump to me, and she'll go, no, And she'll back up, you know, like that. And she and he goes, baby, listen, I'm going to catch you. Just jump. She goes, no. You know, and, she, and this is going on and on. I was sitting there. I was going, okay, if that's me and Sky, I've already grabbed her by the front of her suit and pulled her into the water. I'm only going to do that about maybe once or twice. She's coming in the pool. But anyway, guys, listen, my thing was, though, as I started thinking about it, as I was preparing this message was, that little girl maybe has never jumped into her daddy's arms. Probably doesn't even have a clue. Could he catch me if I jumped? And so here's the thought here is that I'm choosing Jesus. We have to get to a place to where we choose Jesus and we put all of our trust in him, that you will be there, Jesus. That you understand what is going on inside me. That you will catch me. Not only are you going to catch me, Christ, you are going to put me back on my feet. When I was a junior at Bethany University in Santa Cruz, California, we were in one of our classes and the professor was talking about trust. And there was a lot of kind of debating going back and forth. He goes, you know what, guys, that's enough. He goes, we're going to do a trust fall. And he separated some guys and girls over here and guys and girls over here. And he had this big, long desk and he put chairs on both ends. And we're all standing there going, trust fall? You know, like we're going to do trust falls? Like, okay, seventh grade, but here we go. And so we started doing it. Well, we started having a great time. Seeing everybody get caught and coming off of the deal, and it's teaching us this. Well, it's my turn, and I get up there, and the professor looks at me. He says, now, Matt, Mr. Stewart, he goes, do not turn around. And I go, well, and I can see him. He's like, I want you, you know. So I don't know who he's put behind me. And so, guys, I fall back, and the biggest guy on the campus catches me. And he caught me so strong that he popped all the vertebrae in my back. I mean, it went, wow, and he caught me, and I'll never forget, he goes, I've got you. And then he cradled me like a toddler. And we're all kind of laughing the whole thing and whatever, and he sets me down on my feet. Guys, I didn't know if I should ask for a baba or what. I didn't know what was going on, man. I felt like this little dude. But as much as that student did for me, listen, how much more is God going to do for us? Here's another truth bomb. God can heal your broken heart, but you have to give him everything. I'm talking about all the pieces, all the hurt, all the memories, the realities, even the broken things that are broken, and all your trust. Can you trust Jesus with the broken pieces? Can you trust him with your brokenness? And can you trust fall into his care for you? You see, when we experience pain, sometimes it's deep. And when it's a deep pain, new realities begin to set in. I don't know if you guys have ever swam in deep water, and I'm not talking about 30 feet. I'm talking about like where you're out in the ocean. I've saved people out of the Pacific a couple times and all that and been out. But there was this one time we went fishing in Miami. And it was just all the men of the family, the guys and whatever. And we went out. Well, everybody got seasick except for me and the guy driving the boat. And at one point, everybody was like sleeping on the boat. They were so sick. And he says, you want to swim? And I said, yeah, man. So I jumped off the boat and I was swimming. And guys, I went under. And all of a sudden, I realized like, bro, that's black down there. Like, it's dark blue, like dark, dark, deep, dark, you know. And we couldn't see the city skylining. And I remember just kind of sitting out there floating and going like, if I swam this way or north, south, east, west, I'm not getting back without this boat. And see, when things get deep like that, it's where you say, I'm no longer in control. I have no control on this, you know. I'm not getting back without a floating log or a dolphin, you know what I mean, or a life vest or something. I'm not getting back to the shore. Isaiah 43:2 says that when you go through deep waters, I will be with you. And when you go through rivers of difficulty, what does it say? You will not drown. Remember last week we talked about, remember who is in your boat. Because I don't care how bad the storm is, that boat is not going down when Jesus is there with you. There will be times that we cry out to Jesus. We will fill our days with stuff hoping staying busy will help. We will go to church. We will fill our car speakers with worship. We're praying. We're serving. 2 weeks goes by and we're like, God, what the heck? What's going on? Why am I still hurting? Why am I still feeling the way that I do? Because when it's deep, true heartbreak and grief, it's not something that's going to be handled just in a day. Sometimes it takes time. We have to trust God in his leading us out. Church, we have to trust in our Savior that he will bring us through our grief. I love that God talked us through the seasons that we will go through. In Ecclesiastes 3:4, and I'm only using one portion, but it says, a time to cry and a time to laugh and a time to grieve and a time to dance. When I look at a scripture like that, what it is, that's saying to me is that I might be crying today, but Jesus at some point is going to get me to a place where one day I'll be laughing. I'll have joy. I might be grieving today, but at some point, I'm going to dance. I'm going to dance with joy. And God understands. Jesus gets us. He gets our grief, and he gets our heartbreak. He is in your boat, and no matter how big the storm is, he wants all the broken pieces. And sometimes true healing is in the trust fall. We just have to trust him. And here's my second and final thought. Sometimes true healing takes time. I believe God, I want to say this, I want to make sure that I say this because I know that I serve a God that can heal immediately. And I know that he can do that with some broken hearts, but for others, it's going to take some time. Sometimes true healing takes time, and that's okay. I broke my collarbone back in 1997. I really can't forget when I did it because it was just a couple weeks after my daughter Sky was born, and that made Lori incredibly happy. Because were you happy when I broke my? Oh, it was the day after you had the baby? Who's preaching right now? Okay, thank you. So you're correcting me, and it's embarrassing. No, I'm joking. Okay, she knows. She remembers. It was the day after. I'm not going to ask you. Okay, so anyway, she's still upset about it, you guys. Anyway, so I couldn't help or anything, but I had this broken collarbone. So I make the catch in center field, my shoulder separates, and my collarbone snaps. Well, they get me to the hospital. They've got me loaded on morphine and Demerol, and I'm sitting there. And how many of you know when you go to take the x-rays for broken bones, sometimes that's the worst than even breaking the bone? Hold this weight, Mr. Stewart. I'm like, what? You know, I'm like holding weights and lifting my arms. And well, anyway, I'm in there, and the doctor comes in, and he shows me the x-ray. And guys, I see it in my head. I'm thinking, that's going to require surgery. But here's what he says to me. He says, it will heal, but it's going to take time. He even goes on to tell me, he says, everything is going to hurt. Breathing, laughing, sneezing. He says, he just told me, he says, Mr. Stewart, don't sneeze if you can't. I'm like, I can't control if I can sneeze. You know, and even my dreams were hurting me. I remember having this dream of a fly that was messing with me. And guys, I'm loaded on pain pills and the whole thing. And I go to swat at the fly. And when I did, it came around with the lion's head. And I went, whoa, you know, and it scared me. And I just remember like my bones like re-snapped or whatever it was. And then another time I'm dreaming and I go in my closet and I'm looking for something. And a bowling ball comes to fall on me. Guys, I've never had a bowling ball in my house ever. And I jumped and I woke up and I said, ah. And then my friend takes me to see Jurassic Park, the second one in 1997. So I'm sitting there, and at first, you know, I know things are coming, whatever. Well, there was this one scene with the Velociraptors where they tried to come under the fence, and when it did, I jumped. And guys, I just put my head back, and I'm seeing purple and yellow stars, you know, like I was in so much pain. Guys, listen, he then tells me, he goes, and Mr. Stewart, it's going to feel gummy. Like, it's going to feel like it's not healing right, but it's going to feel, you know, he goes, but I promise you it's healing. And then he says this, one day, everybody say one day. One day it will feel mended, it will be strong, and it will be normal as one piece. They say that time heals all wounds. When it's a physical wound, a doctor can look at you and say, Mr. Stewart, your ankle's busted in 8 weeks, give it some time, then you can put some pressure on it. But guys, here's the thing is, when it's a mental, emotional, and a spiritual wound, and we hear people pray with us, and they say, tomorrow I want to see you up and at them. Guys, that's just not the way it works sometimes. Is everybody with me in here? Being 100% transparent. This is me opening up myself to you right now, being just transparent with you, that when I'm struggling with hurt, it is hard to have good thoughts. It is hard to see an end to what's going on. And I even wrote down that it's hard to speak life when you feel like you're dying inside. All I know is that God has a plan for my life. And in that plan, there is complete healing. And one day, everybody say one day, I will be mended. You will be mended. When I go off after the wrong idea or the wrong plan, remember, God says, I have the plan. I have a plan for your life. I have laid before you life and death, and I'm saying choose life. But when we go for the wrong plan, and I promise you, culture has all kinds of recommendations for us. But here's the thing, it will only lead to more breaking. It will only lead to more searching or more emptiness, more devastation, more failed relationships, more loss. We watch whatever we want. We do whatever we feel. We live however we choose. And the world's answer is to move on, to bury it, to medicate, to get into another strange bed or to run into somebody else's arms that you should not be in their arms, watching porn and trusting no one. None of this will heal you. Only Jesus can completely heal your heartbreak. Jeremiah 29:11, here's a scripture that we shared last Sunday, and let's just look at it again. He says, for I know, this is God saying it. This is God, the creator of the universe, is saying, I know the plans I have for you to prosper, to give you hope and a future. And it's hard to see and stand when things are so bad, when they're at their worst. It might be hard to believe. You might not want to hear it. And here's the thing is, you might be in a bad place. You might not believe it. You might not want to hear it, but it doesn't make that scripture untrue. Come on, church, listen to what I'm saying. It just because how we feel, it doesn't change who God is. He still has that plan. But Jeremiah 29:11, I want to make sure I say this to you, is true. God has a plan, an exact plan, a plan to heal, that Jesus loves you, that Jesus gets you, that he will always be with you. You are never alone. And that God says, choose life. And I will deliver you from all brokenness. Jesus says, I am the plan. I am the plan. I'm here with you. And even Jesus, here's the thing that we have to remember. Even Jesus had to cry it out. Think about this. The creator of the universe on earth with us has times where he was brokenhearted. We know this, that in John 11:35, that Jesus wept over the loss of his friend Lazarus. In Luke 19:41-42, we know Jesus is coming up to Jerusalem and that he wept over the city. In Hebrews 5:7-9, we know that the writer says Jesus crying and in tears offered up prayers and requests. And if you look that scripture up in the Greek, it actually saying he was wailing. Jesus himself had times of heartbreak. He gets us because there were times he had to live through his own heartbreak. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Now, you got to remember who's writing this. This is Solomon, probably the wisest man that's ever lived on planet Earth. And he's saying that in all the things you're going to read in the book of Proverbs and everything that I put my hand to in Ecclesiastes and anything else I've ever said or wrote, he is saying, above all else, everything, guard your heart. Think about that. In almost every other translation of that scripture, it says, out of it comes life. Above all else, guard your heart. All our thoughts, our wills, our discernment, and our affections come from our heart. In the New Living Translation, it says, above all else, guard your heart, for it determines the course of your life. If this is true what we're reading regarding our hearts, we need to take care of them. We need to guard them. We need to give Jesus, listen to this, complete access, giving him all the broken pieces, everything that we do. I don't want to live another day feeling broken and alone. I'm choosing today that I want life. I'm praying that you'll choose today that you want life and you want it flowing from your heart. Amen? Guys, I want to close this up. We're going to ask the worship team to come up. I'm so thankful for our worship today. Can we just give them a hand? They just amazing job. I want to share one more story, and then I just want to encourage you a little bit as we go into a time of prayer. A few weeks ago, we were having a staff meeting over here, and we had a couple in there just kind of telling us about what was going on in their lives and in their ministry, and we were having a great conversation, and at the end, the husband just goes, Pastor Matt, we just wanted you to know that your message on Jesus gets when we're wrongly, let's see, what was it? Wrongly judged. It could be in that, but I'm thinking about rejection. Rejection, that's it. When you he gets your rejection. And so I'm sitting there and I'm having this conversation and he's thanking me for the message. I go, oh, thank you. And he goes, and then his wife begins to tell me, she goes, you know, I found out that after we buried my father that he wrote me out of his will. And guys, and immediately tears and the pain, the brokenness is just taking over the room. And you can just see how heartbroken. And I go, I'm so sorry. I go, you mean he wrote out all the kids? And she goes, no, just me. And then it just, that guys, that's another level. All of a sudden, that it's not just he wrote out all the kids. It was just her. And so we surround her and we begin to pray. But guys, how many of you understand it was going to take some time for her to heal? This was something that her and Jesus were going to have to work through with each other. And it's important that we know that he can do this, that she didn't choose this. She wasn't choosing this ending, but it still brought heartache. So I want to encourage you with this, everybody in this room, to start speaking and writing down positive affirmations. Repeat them daily to program yourself to feel empowered in Jesus. And when we would declare these affirmations with faith, we believe that they are going to happen. Job 22:28 says, you will also declare a thing and it will be established for you. And what he's saying is that what you decide, what you begin to speak, the decrees will be carried out by God, that I am lovable, that I am worth it. I love the real me. Maybe it's just saying all I do is win. Just saying something that grabs the attention of your spirit and what God is trying to do, that I am wonderfully and fearfully made. I am committed no matter how long it takes. I am going to be healed of my heartbreak. I am choosing to stay committed even when things don't change overnight. One day, everybody say one day, I will be healed. One day I will be healed. Getting God's word, feeding, drinking, getting it into your heart, getting it into your belly. That you'll start praying, talking it out, crying it out loud to him, laughing in joy and listening. How can I love you best, God? How can I joyfully be joyful during this trial? What do you want me to learn from this situation? How can I trust you more fully? And get into your worship. Do everything that you can to worship the Father. Because when we are hurting, the temptation is to stop reading the word. It's to stop praying and turning off the worship. I say this to all of you, worship Jesus Christ. Worship Yeshua HaMashiach because he is worthy even in our brokenness. Amen. Jesus gets our heartbreak. Can I get an amen? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Heavenly Father, I just thank you.